This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Like a girl, and he got five stories to tell. I see both sides like Chanel. See on both sides like Chanel. Swimming laps through pool water. Eating like I'm underworld. Had my tattoos in Shibuya. Police think I'm of the underworld. 12 treat a nigga like he 12. How you looking up to me and talking down? Can't you see I am the big man? God level, I am the I am. I film it with the drone cam in the pink like Killer Cam.
When I zoom on that stick, no way.
I'm so close, I'm on that kill.
Controller on your lower back, yeah, that's the good. Dick will roll the eyes back in the skull. Rolling when you ride, popping. Rolling when you ride, ride to ride. Got one street acting, turned up like some dirty plastic. Ride. 2016, burn some discs. 2017, ideas playing off of Walgreens. This a cult, not a click on the net. With a cup in a cup, activist.
That's a double edge, just a knife. And I don't like to fight till I'm fighting. Revenge in the air makes my lungs sick. Chopper in the sky like a gun trick. Clips on clips like Mike. It's really all. I see both sides like Chanel. See on both sides like Chanel. It's really you on my mind. It's really you on my mind. It's really you. It's really you on my mind.
See both sides of the 12. See both sides of the L. Free smoke rings in their hell. Sleet snow grind for the well. Whole team diamonds is real. Show them how to shine by themselves. You need a cosign for your hell. I need that bitch to grind on my belt. I know you need to drive for my belt. I know you see the drive in itself. No matter black on the ride cause it's stale. But it's stale. I see both sides like Chanel. I see both sides like Chanel.
My pocket's snug. They can't hold my 7. They ban my Visa. My Amex and MasterCards. I got new money and it's all cash. I got new bags and they all collapse. I rubber band a bunch of $1,000 Delta gift cards. I'm in my baby Bart. Amazing the cash online unknown. I'm in my baby Bart. Blazing the dash, got money at home. My pocket snug. They can't hold my 7. They ban my Visa. My Amex and MasterCards. I got new money and it's all cash. I got new bags and they all collapse. I rubber band a bunch of $1,000 Delta gift cards. I'm in my baby Bart. Amazing the cash online unknown. I'm in my baby Bart. Blazing the dash, got money at home.
Oh, dear me. Once more, I tell you, I will never, ever tire of that song. Frank Ocean there with Chanel. It's 5 minutes past nine. You are on Joy. I'm Jennifer, and it's the last Tuesday of the month, which means this must be the representation hour for Triple Bypass. And what a doozy we have for you tonight. We are talking about what happens to our peeps when they go from being comic book characters to being cinematic characters. And joining me in the studio, I'm very, very excited to welcome Rafif Ismail, who is an award-winning writer published by all sorts of people, Margaret River Press, Frio Press, Jed Press, Mascara Literary Review. She has years of experience working in community services, especially with new and emerging culturally and linguistically diverse communities. Ray is a third culture youth of the Sudanese diaspora who arrived in Australia as a refugee. So she sees all forms of art as mediums for change and is committed to creating really accessible spaces for young people of marginalised backgrounds in the arts. So I am heavily outranked, but so pleased to have you here, Ray.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you, JP.
We are going to spend tonight, the next hour, talking about what happens when bi-plus characters go from gracing the pages of our comic books to stumbling across our movie screens. I'm not going to tell you what movie we're starting off with, but I am going to tell you that this is Immigrant Song from Led Zeppelin. You're on Joy. Make you wish you had long hair. Led Zeppelin and Immigrant Song. It is the last Tuesday of the month, which means this is Triple Bypass, the representation hour for Triple Bypass, rather, on Joy. And I'm joined in the studio by Ray. Hello.
Hello there.
How great to have you here. And we are talking all things cinematic adaptations of bi-plus comic book characters. It sounds super niche, but really, representation in comic books has been pretty exciting over the last however many years. And because we have so many comic books now being put to the screen, we've actually got a whole lot of material to work with. And as you might have guessed from listening to the almighty Zeppelin, we're starting off with Thor, and specifically Thor Ragnarok, and even more specifically,
Mygal Tethys Thompson.
Oh, Valkyrie, played by, of course, the inimitable Tessa Mae Thompson. Now, anyone who listens regularly will know that I've declared many times, I don't make the rules, Ray, but, you know, I just let people know them, that from here on in, we should just assume that all characters are multigender attracted until they come out as being something other than that.
And then they have to prove that it's not a phase.
Right. And any character played by a bi-plus actor is automatically, canonically bi-plus.
Those are the rules. We just have to enforce them.
I know. We don't make them. We just let you know what they are. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so Valkyrie. I was super excited when I found out that Tessa Thompson was playing Valkyrie. Mm-hmm. For a start, it's kind of exciting to see
a character be put to the screen and transformed from being 6 foot tall and icy blonde with icy blue eyes. Not that there's anything wrong with having blonde hair and blue eyes. I've lived my whole life with both. But, you know, like, you see enough of me on screen. But then to have these hints that, yes, Valkyrie on screen was going to be bi, and then we heard that they had shot a scene, just a snippet, a snippet where as Valkyrie left her rooms, we would see her lover through the crack in the door and her lover would be a woman and millions of bi plus people around the world cried out in joy. And then what happened?
And then, as usual, we were disappointed. yes. I mean, I absolutely love Thor Ragnarok for a lot of reasons. Valkyrie, Loki, Thor himself, who I believe is also a bi icon.
Yeah, totally.
but it was absolutely devastating not to have that confirmation, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it was, because it had been hyped up in the media so, so much, and we all went into this expecting it, and we wanted it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And also, like, bi representation in the media isn't that much, so, you know, when you have that snippet through of a lover through the door that is a woman. That's a lot.
It's so much. It's like a drop of water when you've had nothing to drink all day.
Exactly. And for me, like, because Valkyrie is played by the beautiful Tessa Thompson, who is a black woman, and I have not seen black women on screen enough. And I don't think we have ever seen black women on screen enough.
No.
And
let alone queer black women.
Let alone queer black women. And also, I think she is one of the few characters outside of Black Panther who's a black woman who has speaking roles in a Marvel movie.
Yes.
So just her very existence makes me happy, but also I would have loved to have seen that representation because it would have meant a lot to me and to so many other people.
I think for me, the disappointing thing was that when it was questioned, when this decision to cut that little snippet of a scene was questioned, the only response that seemed to come from the studio was that it would have distracted from the main story.
And see, and that is always the problem. They say that as if queer characters are not the main story, or as if, like, the existence of queer folk in a narrative is an aberration rather than the norm.
As if we haven't seen hundreds and hundreds of male characters slinking out of a room and leaving a lover who is female behind. You know, as if the gender of the lover is going to make this suggest anything other than the fact that Valkyrie is a bit of a Lothario. And, you know, I mean, the girl knows how to play.
Oh, who can blame her?
Who would want to blame her?
That too, yes.
We are going to be back in a sec with more musings on Thor Ragnarok, the rest of Thor's buddies, and the queerness therein. This is the Representation Hour for Triple Bypass on Joy. It's 9:15. You are on Joy. It's 9:15. I'm Jennifer. That's Ray. This is the Representation Hour, and we are talking all things cinematic translations of your favourite bi plus comic book characters. And right now, we're talking Thor. Not Thor, the man, the god, the icon, although I agree, queer AF. But those beautiful little queer electrons that kind of spin around Thor. Does that make Thor a proton or a neutron or, I don't know, he's a bit of a Roger Ramjet. We'll call him a proton. Anyway. And I think the queerest of the queer, as Shirley Manson would say, has got to be Loki.
Absolutely.
And Loki's never gotten a look in.
And yet, because in the comics, like in Agents of Asgard, Loki is proven to be, like, multigendered. is proven to be queer as fuck.
Right.
And yet...
And then we go to the cinema, and I mean, Tom Hiddleston is a delight to look upon, and I would like to pay homage to every costume designer for all of the trousers he's ever worn. Mm-hmm. But presenting a gender-fluid character as a cisgender man and making him kind of a little bit pervy but in a decidedly washed-down, vanilla-y, straight way is just disappointing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, also, there would have been... There is so much to explore with Loki, and I have my own theories post-Infinity War, especially since we might see Young Avengers and Kid Loki and the queertopia that is Young Avengers. Thank you for my life, Marvel.
I'm really pleased that you're holding out hope for the Young Avengers queertopia.
I am, because that is going to be what I need and deserve. Those are the heroes I need and deserve in this world. But yeah, to see Loki not represented the way authentically they are in the comics has been such a huge disappointment. And Tom Hiddleston is a fantastic actor, like absolutely wonderful. And you do see these little hints of, like, Loki the bi icon.
Yeah, he seems willing to flirt with just about anything with a pulse.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you see it with the Grandmaster and Loki in Ragnarok. Mm-hmm. That was kind of like,
yeah,
okay,
yeah,
life goals.
Yeah.
But the fact that they... It's cowardness that they haven't explicitly put this.
It is. It's cowardice, and I think it's also a kind of a lack of respect for the importance of representation. So, you know, hats off to Taika Waititi. Look, anything off to Taika Waititi, really. But for giving it a crack, you know, he gave us Valkyrie. He gave us Valkyrie, the woman of colour. Mm-hmm. He got Loki and Grandmaster to be a little bit flirty and pervy. Mm-hmm. Again, who doesn't want to think about Tom Hiddleston and Jeff Goldblum being a little bit pervy and flirty? Obviously, it's a huge surprise to everyone that I loved this film. And then he gave us Korg, which was cool because we know that Korg's... a few years ago in the comics, Korg's beloved was a warrior... Mm-hmm. Whose name I have written down, Heroum.
Yes. So,
but none of them are explicitly queer. We still don't get to see it. We don't get to... We have to assume our place on screen. And, I'd kind of like that queertopia that we've all been waiting for.
I would love that queertopia. It does a disservice to every queer person watching, because we have to assume our place in society almost. Screen art reflects society and society reflects art. And the more queer identities are watered down on screen, on stage, on the page, the more queer folk that are right exist. Like, it is so incredibly validating when you see a queer character being represented as explicitly queer in any medium. And so heartbreakingly disappointing when that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
We are in Australia in 2018. We have lived through the plebiscite of hell.
We
have survived that, and we deserve good representation. We don't just deserve representation. We deserve positive representation. We deserve active representation.
And it doesn't make a hell of a lot of sense financially. There are a lot of us, and there are a lot of us who don't have kids and mortgages because we can't afford either, which means the only tiny joy we can afford in our lives is entertainment.
And we will spend all of our money on entertainment.
I will spend all of my money. I am saying it here. To all of you at Marvel and Disney, I know you're listening. They're all dedicated listeners of joy Triple Bypass and the Representation Hour, I am telling you now, I will spend my hard-earned money on movies full of queers. Mm-hmm. Do it. Do it now. We're here for you. We will support you. We know you're doing it tough, Marvel. we want you to be okay. I'm just talking rubbish.
But also, just before we switch away to another topic, the fact that we will support them should be shown, because when statistically, when movies have representation, like any representation of any group that's usually marginalized, these movies perform so well.
Yeah.
Like so well that yeah. they outperform anything else. We've seen it with Ocean's 8, which I have feelings about because queer baiting.
I know.
We've seen it with Black Panther.
We saw it with Girls Trip.
Mm-hmm. Wonder Woman.
Right. Yeah. Come on, gang. I know it's frightening for you to think that the world doesn't revolve around you, but surprise, we like movies. It's 22 minutes past nine. You are on the Representation Hour for Triple Bypass on Joy. I am Jennifer. That is Ray. We want to hear about your favourites. So send us a text message on 0427 JOY 949 or email onair@joy.org.au. Tell us who your favourites are. Who did you love in the comic books? Who do you love on screen? Who do you wish was just a little bit better? We want to know. We will be back in just a sec, but to keep you company in the meantime, here are two super cute gingers from Melbourne by way of New Zealand, or from New Zealand by way of Melbourne. I don't know. Here's Brentwood with their version of the Deadpool rap.
See you.
are on Joy. It's 28 minutes past nine. I'm Jennifer, that's Ray. This is the Representation Hour for Triple Bypass, and we are talking all about what happens when Bi-plus characters go from being on our comic book page to that big cinema screen. And it's a little bit disappointing.
Yeah.
As you might have guessed, we are going to slide right on over to the Merc with the Mouth, the queer baiting to end all queer baiting, Deadpool.
Yes. Yeah. So, how did Marvel change the like pangender, pansexual icon that is Deadpool into not that
right
on screen?
Cis dude with a bit of homoerotic subtext, but mostly just using a character's pansexuality to make fun of LGBTQIA plus people.
Pretty much, yeah.
I think what was particularly disappointing in this, for me anyway, is that we know that Ryan Reynolds had to work really, really hard to make the Deadpool he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been this narrative of he played that rubbish Deadpool in that Wolverine movie, and then he played that terrible Green Lantern in that terrible Green Lantern movie, and it was all a trade-off as he struggled like the struggling struggler that he is to make the movie that we all needed, Deadpool. And apparently the movie that he desperately wanted to make was just more queer baiting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such an integral part of the Deadpool character, the fact that he is gender fluid or pan-gendered and very pansexual and very sexual.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just kind of gets turned into this strange cis dude caricature. And it's kind of a letdown. Again, don't get me wrong, the movies are super fun.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed both of them. I saw them both at the cinema. But you do leave feeling a little bit hungry still.
You do. Like, especially Deadpool 2. Like, walking into that movie and expecting the relationship between Deadpool and Cable, which in the comics is pretty explicit. They refer to the end of their friendship as divorced people.
Yeah.
Like, there is no heterosexual explanation for this. And yet, we leave with this feeling of disappointment when the representation doesn't add up. Like, you don't get the Deadpool that we don't get the Deadpool that we deserve.
Mm.
And I don't understand why there is this fear of making this explicitly queer character so explicitly queer on screen, when obviously the reception, like, if anyone has ever picked up a Deadpool comic or a comic containing Deadpool, they know that Deadpool is queer.
Yeah.
Like, there is no surprise here. Like,
he is as queer as they come. Or they are as queer as they come. He's not a he. But also, we've got a movie that's rated R.
Mm-hmm.
There is literally nothing you can do more to this character. So why is it less offensive to have a grown man regrow his legs,
mm-hmm,
and make tiny penis jokes than it is to have a character who is multigender attracted? This I don't get.
Mm-hmm.
I found it really interesting as well, the difference in how the movie was received across different media.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Sci-Fi called Deadpool 2 one of the most progressive films, whereas then you slide on over to them,
mm-hmm,
and it pans it for queer baiting.
Yeah.
So it's also kind of virtue signalling, you know, it's... It's saying within the world of cishet comic book fans, we did it. Yay for us.
Yeah, pretty much. It's as if they're throwing us a bone and expecting us to be content with it.
Yeah.
And that seems to be the history with anything adapted from comics to screen, like how long did we fight to actually get explicit queer representation in comics? Like, and now we have to fight the same battle for screen?
For the same characters.
For the same characters in the year of our Lord Beyonce 2018.
Right.
Like, how dare?
Yeah.
But there's also this thing. Like, this reminds me of something that Bell Hooks once said, which was moving from silence into speech is a revolutionary gesture. And, like, movies speak to people. Movies are the way we reach people the most. That's, like, why are these studios so afraid of those revolutionary gestures? Because you have representation doesn't just, isn't, like, just the be-all and end-all. Like, there is change that comes from that. Like, we're not saying that a queer Deadpool is going to fix queer phobia, but a queer Deadpool is going to cause a ripple effect.
Yes.
That will one day fix queer phobia.
Yes.
That's what we're saying.
Like, and I think with Deadpool in particular, because he's an anti-hero, he's an action hero.
Exactly.
To have an action hero be multi-gender attracted would be such a revolutionary act, because it is by its nature undermining those ideas that we have around masculinity and heroism. And, you know, how cool would that be?
Absolutely. And how much will it go to dismantling the ideas of toxic masculinity that young people often internalize?
Yeah.
And the movie does do a bit of that, but just not enough, which always seems to be the case.
Yeah, yeah. It's that little hungry feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. One day.
One day.
One day, we believe. It's 25 minutes to 10, which means you've got 25 minutes left to let us know who are your favourites. Who do you love seeing on screen? Which comic book adaptations do you wish were a little bit better? Which do you think got it right on the mark? We're going to be back in a sec to talk about one that we both think didn't quite hit the mark. To get us there, here is, a bi icon who always hits the mark for me. Here's Freddie and Queen with Killer Queen.
She keeps him away, Shonda, in a pretty cabinet. Let them eat cake, she says, just like Marie Antoinette. A building, a remedy for Khrushchev and Kennedy. At any time, an invitation you can't take. Caviar and cigarettes, well-versed in etiquette. Extraordinarily nice. She's a killer queen, gunpowder, gelatine, dynamite with a laser beam. To blow your mind. Ooh, recommended at the price. Insatiable and appetite. Wanna try? Ooh, oh, 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 oh. To avoid complications, she never kept the same address. In conversation, she spoke just like a baroness. Little man from China, when dying to get your mind up. Incidentally, she's a killer queen. Love you came naturally from Paris. Naturally. Forgot she couldn't care less. Fastidious and precise. She's a killer queen. Gunpowder gelatine. Dynamite with a laser beam. Guaranteed to blow your mind. Momentarily out of action, temporarily out of class. You're absolutely right. She's trying to get you. She's a killer. insatiable an appetite.
Wanna try?
Wanna try?
Queen and Killer Queen. It's 22 minutes to 10. You are on the Representation Hour for Triple Bypass on Joy. I'm Jennifer. That's Ray. Hi, Ray.
Hi, Jen. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm all right. I'm having a ball just digging in and exploring what happens to our Bi-plus characters when they go from being comic book characters to being movie characters. And Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman. Speaking of queer baiting.
Uh-huh.
Now, yeah, look. I think we all know that on an island of Amazons, horse riding and archery are not the only recreational activities. And yet, that appears to be all that happens in the movie, which caused a bit of a stir when it came out. People were rightly a bit miffed, shall we say.
Just a tad.
Yeah. And so, of course, Gal Gadot was questioned about it. Gal Gadot has been questioned about many things, but we'll stick to bisexuality and pop culture. And I came back with this, and I quote, "It's not something we've explored. It never came to the table. But when you talk theoretically about all the women on Themyscira," I can't say that properly, "and how many years she was there, then what he said makes sense. In this movie, she does not experience any bisexual relationships. But it's not about that. She's a woman who loves people for who they are. She can be bisexual. She loves people for their hearts." Now, I'm sure Gal Gadot was put on the spot with that question. I'm also sure that that's a question she should have considered. And look, as an actor, I'm going to say, if you do your job as an actor, you know what sexuality your character has. So I'm calling cop out on that one.
Yeah, that was a reach.
Yeah.
That was a very, very big reach. Okay, Wonder Woman. So, as JP already knows, I have a lot of feelings about Wonder Woman, but we'll stick with the queer baiting of Wonder Woman. First off, historically, the Amazons were not heterosexual, so let's go with history on this one.
Yeah.
Let me brush off my 8 history units and tell you that the Amazons were not heterosexual. No, if we're basing it off Greek mythology. Or yeah. And or Roman mythology. Hi, I just have one thing to say to anyone who does not know. None of them were heterosexual. It is so explicit. Secondly, there was an important queer relationship that was actively erased from the movie, which was quite disappointing. And the next point is that it kind of disempowers the character of Diana of Themyscira, that we don't see her as the bi icon that she is in the comics. In the comics, we see Wonder Woman as a hero for all women, which, just a quick segue, isn't really explored in the Wonder Woman movie for a lot of reasons.
At all. For a movie that was promoted as being this celebration of the power of women, it had a hell of a lot of dudes in it.
Yeah.
And a hell of a lot of dudes at its centre.
Absolutely.
You know, we had some amazing fight scenes featuring the Amazons, but really we mostly saw this drippy guy, Steve Trevor, fall over his own feet and still manage to have Diana fall in love with him? No. Like, she's going to fall for the first guy she meets?
Exactly. And see, that kind of plays into that myth that a queer person who IDs as a woman will always is just always waiting for the right man. If anyone can't see, I'm doing hand quotes. clearly, I have the hang of this strange thing.
So we heard your displeasure.
Yes, good.
Because you know, the world revolves around cis dudes and their genitals, and we're all just waiting for the right penis to come along, and we will fall on it.
Apparently so, according to the Wonder Woman movie. But also, Wonder Woman didn't click for me as a celebration for all women. It did not. As a woman of color, as a queer woman of color, I saw nothing at all in it that would represent me, and it was the optimum of white feminism.
Yeah.
And I mean white feminism is in feminism that has been built to actively exclude people of color and actively exclude queer folk and actively exclude neurodivergent folk, that kind of feminism.
Yeah.
That's a feminism that I saw in Wonder Woman. It was
capital W, capital F white feminism.
Pretty much.
So we had tiny glimpses of women of colour in the background of fight scenes.
Which kind of is an analogy for all of feminist history.
isn't it just? Yeah. I've got to agree with you. It was a very single-shaped, single-coloured island of Amazons. Mm-hmm. And look, I was super excited to see Princess Buttercup become a general. That was amazing. And I was super excited to see those fight scenes on the beach. But to then watch a movie that was centred around really a male protagonist and a male antagonist, and Wonder Woman's just there to save the day. She really became a kind of Mary Sue. Mm. And then every time we saw the Amazons, there was such a clear divide on their skin colour and also on their body type. Mm-hmm. We had these incredible athletes in the fight scenes, but in the background, and women with more traditionally white feminine body types foregrounded. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's disappointing.
It was disappointing. And it kind of just, again, goes to show that you can't just have representation. You need to have positive representation. You need to have active representation. You need to have the kind of representation that will make a difference, not representation for representation's sake.
Yeah.
We need representation. We don't need tokenism. We don't need pedestaling.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
We're not going to talk about it because we need to get on to a movie that really just...
I genuinely care about very much.
So much, so much.
Seen A20 time.
But I've got to say, the clothing that the Amazons wear in Wonder Woman... Mm-hmm. Versus the clothing that the Amazons wear in Justice League is a problem. Historically, from a gender equality perspective and just from a practicality point of view, I wouldn't fight in it, and I don't think they would either. It is 13 minutes to 10. You're not going to fight in it either, are you? Nobody's going to fight in that rubbish.
Nobody's going to fight in that rubbish, no.
We are going to be back in just a sec to, swoon, be a little bit disappointed, and then swoon again into your ears about Black Panther. And to get us there.
The greatest movie in history.
Here is a whole lot of swooning from Kendrick Lamar with All the Stars.
Is it anything and everything you offer? new to me. You could bring a bullet, bring a sword, bring a morgue, but you can't bring the truth to me. You and all your expectations, I don't even want your congratulations. I recognize your false confidence and calculated promises all in your conversation. I hate people that feel entitled. Look at me crazy cause I ain't invite you. Oh, you important, you the moral to the story. You endorsing, motherfucker, I don't even like you. Corrupt a man's heart with a gift. That's how you find out who you're dealing with. A smart percentage who I'm building with. I want the credit if I'm losing or I'm winning. On my mama, that's the real shit.
Let's talk about love.
Get away from me. If you do, I won't move.
There. It's 8 minutes to 10, Tuesday night, end of the month, which means this is the representation hour for Triple Bypass on Joy. I'm Jennifer and I'm joined by Ray, who I should have mentioned is in town for Melbourne Writers Festival, and you should definitely check out what's going on because it's all just freaking amazing.
And I will be explicitly queer and like the movies we've been talking about.
And that's what we need. We need more explicitly queer characters or actual real-life people on stage, on page, and on screen. Right. The time has come, the walrus said.
The time has come.
Black Panther. Where do we start?
Well, I have been waiting all my life for this moment.
It was amazing.
It was amazing. I've seen it 28 times.
Yep. Fair.
It was amazing. Marvel, if you're listening, I would sell my soul for a Midnight Angels TV series and I volunteer to write it. Now, let's talk about the disappointment that is the erasure of a character that they said will be explicitly queer.
Yeah.
AKA the General.
Yeah. We were waiting for Ayo and
Anika.
Yes.
And then we got Okoyo, who they said would be queer.
Yeah.
And then that was quickly retracted.
Yeah. And there we were.
Once again. And look, much as I love Chadwick Boseman and much as I applaud the costume designers who designed the Black Panther suit.
Yes.
No group of, 50 women is going to just fight over one man. That doesn't exist in the real world.
Nope.
there is no heterosexual explanation for the Dorum Large, and I don't accept this at all as a reality. World of Wakanda, which is the comic book series that got unfortunately cancelled, because again, are no words, which was written by Ta-Nehisi Coates, who's actually in Melbourne for the Melbourne Writers Festival at the moment.
Yes.
Roxane Gay and Yona Harvey, had Anika and Io, the two explicitly queer women, aka the Midnight Angels, who were absolutely beautiful and fantastic and everything I needed.
And should have been on our screen.
And should have been on
and
our screen.
And there was no good reason for them not to be.
There really wasn't. There was no good reason for a white guy to be in that movie. They could have spent that time that they were paying Martin Freeman, who I'm sure is a fantastic actor at some in some other movies. With... I've just gotten them verbal.
I think the thing that made it, that somehow added insult to injury, was the rough cut that we saw with Ayo and Okoye when they're swaying.
Yes.
Doing that amazing rhythmic swaying, and that eye contact was flirtatious as all get out. And, you know, then we get the camera pan, and then we get, I think, Okoye says to Ayo, you look good. No, other way around.
Mm-hmm.
Ayo says, you look good, and Okoye grins and says, I know. And it was the moment. It was the moment. It was going to happen, Ray.
And
we
then
all knew it.
Okoye has a husband.
A husband and still doesn't, like, could she not have a husband and an ex-girlfriend?
Which
could she not have a husband and a girlfriend? She's the general. Surely she can do whatever she wants, right?
Clearly. And yet, again, cowardness.
Yeah.
There was no excuse. There was absolutely no excuse, because Black Panther, which hits so many marks for so many people in the African diaspora, because it was the movie for us. It was our movie. Yet, as a leaving that theater the first time, the second time, the third and fourth and fifth time as a queer Black person, I just felt empty.
Yeah.
I felt really disappointed. Like, I loved it for every other aspect of it. Yet, to see that lack of representation, especially when representation was... So this was meant to be the movie that represented all aspects of Black culture. And Black queer people exist, people. And they even exist in Africa.
Yeah.
I can attest to that.
Yeah. and I think the fact that that one of the screenwriters, Joe Robert Cole, when he was asked about the scene, confirmed... Mm-hmm. That it was originally written that way, and that there was the intention to include that World of Wakanda love story in the film.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's no real explanation as to why it wasn't. Mm-hmm. And it's not good enough. It is not good enough to give us one piece of representation per film, because none of us has only one thing that needs representing.
No, exactly.
You know, we shouldn't have to get our queer representation in one place and our representation for people of colour in another and our representation for genderqueer people somewhere else and for disabled people somewhere else.
No, exactly. Like, is it so hard to ask for an intersectional movie? Like, an actual intersectional movie? Audre Lorde once said something like, we've been socialized to respect fear more than our own need for language.
Yeah.
Which I think kind of just sums up exactly that. But just to segue about Black queerness, I'm just going to give a shout out to season 10 of Doctor Who and Bill Potts, who an explicitly queer Black woman, but tragically, like every Black woman in Doctor Who, did not last more than a season.
Because there's the rules.
Because those are the rules. And also, spoiler alert, Loki died because fridging of queer women characters is apparently a thing.
Yeah.
But, like, disappointments aside, we had a season of Doctor Who with a black queer person, explicitly queer. And Doctor Who's always been good with queer representation.
Wasn't it perfect?
It was perfect.
It was perfect while it lasted.
While it lasted.
It is 1 minute to 10, which means it's time for us to give a very, very quick sign-off. Thank you so much, Ray, for being here with me.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you to all of you for being here with us. Keep emailing us in with your favourite bits of representation. You can tweet us at Triple Bypass. You can email us, triplebypass@joy.org.au. The rest of the team will be back here next week. I will be back here next month. But to take us out, what have we got?
We have the most iconic queer icon of all time, Janelle Monáe. Happy 2018, people.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.